Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I am here with Illini guy's director of recruiting, Kedrick Prince. And we are going to talk for a few minutes about the Illini victory over Penn State. 60-55 in a game that had no style points whatsoever. And it was a brutal slowdown that Penn State did. They want to make sure Kofi didn't get the ball in the lane. And they wanted to make sure that Frazier and Plummer didn't get the open catch and shoot threes. Beyond that, they were willing to let anything else go that they could. Kedrick, what did you think about the game after you've had to sit down for 20 minutes and kind of digest what we saw, which was not good?
Well, it was an ugly game, Mike. Uninspired game, looked like they didn't care. The State Farm Center wasn't sold out, but to me, that's kind of irrelevant. You know, you played in empty arenas for the last 2 years, a year and a half. You know, that was just an uninspired performance. And I'm going to tell you, if Penn State can shoot a little bit, this was an L tonight. This is a loss. And it's concerning me. You know, they play good on the road, and that's great, but you cannot play this bad against teams that aren't that good. I'm telling you right now, if they do this Sunday against Iowa, they'll lose by 20. Iowa is not the same team they were at the beginning of the year. They are clicking. They're good offensively, and they guard a little bit. And I'm going to tell you, if Illinois is not making shots, which we've seen how ugly that can be, they're in trouble, because Iowa will play a zone, and it's a matchup, 2-3, and they'll guard. And they have a ton of guys that can score. That's what happened with Penn State tonight. They just couldn't knock down the shots when they needed, and they had looks. They had plenty of looks that they just didn't fall for them. So to me, I don't know if they're going to figure it out. I don't want to say they better figure it out. If you can't figure this out in the last game of the Big Ten tournament, I'm going to have some concerns moving forward in the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament. You can't have games like this. Yes, it's games. Coach said that, you know, those tournament games like this, and it's nice to get those wins. Like, but, you know, and then you're still having to fix things. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me. Just mind-boggling, the effort, they act like they don't want to be out there. And it's tough because people want to criticize the fans when they're tough on them. Good teams right now that's trying to, you know, plan for seeds and tournament, you don't play like this. So I get it tonight. Tonight I'm on the side of the fans. I understand why they're frustrated a little bit.
Well, it was not a, you know, first off, all wins count as one win. So, you know, if they had won 100-55, we'd all feel better, but it would still count the same in the W column. But I will say it could have been worse. You know, we've been Illini fans long enough. I mean, I just think about Ohio State losing at home to Nebraska. And, you know, Illinois, as bad as tonight was, they kept their composure. Coleman Hawkins hit 4 key free throws down the stretch. Obviously, his inconsistent three-pointers got him kind of pulled out of the game because they were doinking him and telling him to shoot. But down the stretch, he did hit those three-pointers. They got some timely shooting from Damonte Williams, you know, the Illini guy, Illini basketball star. And they got some key rebounds down the stretch. But I'll tell you what really kind of surprised me in this game was a couple things. One is Illinois had a 17-3 free throw advantage in terms of attempts. That was critical for the win. Not that, you know, like I said, when they're playing the grab and hold, if you want to see a grab and hold, and Kedrick, you can write a column on this one. When you go back and watch the replay of the game, go with 4 seconds left and watch what they do to Kofi Coburn.
I saw
as he goes down court. They literally have two hands, and Kofi is pulling somebody like you would pull a sled behind you. And it's a joke that doesn't even, you know, like I said, that should be an intentional
foul.
Yeah. Intentional foul. It, you know, it was kind of a joke, but the Illinois did get the benefit of the calls tonight, despite the weird ball didn't go off of Kofi. But hey, again, when I look at 17-3, I guess I'm not going to complain about that too much. But what really was concerning to me, and I I'm just trying to figure out if the team's tired or what's going on, but how do you get out rebounded by Penn State?
This is one of the things that you talked about is uninspired effort. I mean, I'm going to tell you this. I think this was, out of all the games fouling out, I thought this was Kofi's worst game. There was a pass of Curbelo through to him. Curbelo's going to get the turnover. That's Kofi's turnover. His hands were like streaked and tonight with potholes in them. He couldn't catch the ball at all, Mike. There was times he couldn't grab rebounds. Do you know how many second chance points there was? One time Illinois was up by 5, could have went up by 8 or 7 next trip, and they couldn't get a rebound. The ball went off his hands. He has no lift. I'll tell you what. I know you have stats in front of you. When was the last time Kofi had 12 rebounds? He went from averaging 12 to 14 rebounds to 10-7 right now, and I'm sure it's dropped after tonight. He don't have the lift on his leg. He's not going to get in balls like he, and if he gets them, he's losing them. He's losing them. I'm telling you, he really is. And I don't know. I'm not in practice. I think he looks tired. I think he's fatigued. I think he's tired. And I feel bad because, you know, early in the season, we were all thinking Omar Payne was going to give him enough minutes, and he's not, because Coach Underwood couldn't even put Coleman in tonight. He didn't play him tonight. I don't know what the reason was, he said on his postgame show, but you had to play him. And I'm going to tell you, if you do that, like I said, Sunday, I was going to run him off the court because all five of those guys run. It's going to be a tough game Sunday. Now, a month and a half ago, this was a guaranteed win for me. But the way they're playing right now, you lose at home to Ohio State, that's not a guaranteed win, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you know, and Hawkins and Payne played a combined 15 minutes. Up with 8 points and 4 rebounds. So you'd like to get a few more minutes out of them. And Hawkins' time was more at the 4 as opposed to the 5. Payne did.
And then the first half.
Yeah, exactly. And then Payne did accomplish something, though, that he has not accomplished for a long time. He had no fouls tonight. He played 4 minutes with no fouls. So he cut his foul per minute pace down incredibly tonight for one game. So maybe that's a building block. You know, he got a point on that nice spin move and, had a couple rebounds and didn't manage not to reach around and foul somebody. So there's a moral victory because you need to find the little things for these guys to get their confidence.
Yeah, and he'll need that. And this is the first game and probably 25 games where he didn't do that. You know, I don't know, and I'm not second guessing, but to me, as broke as they were, when I mean by broke, they couldn't hit a shot. Me personally, I don't know how you feel about it, Mike. Brandon Pajimski would have got a look for me tonight. That kid, because defensively, I don't think it was going to be any different because Penn State was going to hold the ball for 25 seconds out of the shot clock, and then they're going to try to score. And the one thing that we know Brandon can do is he can shoot the basketball. I'd have gave him a look. I mean, I really and truly would have given him a look. I mean, early, even in the first half when shots weren't going in, because remember, when teams zone you got to make them pay, and shots weren't falling. If it was me, I would stay in the zone if I was Penn State. Just didn't help. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I've not. That is bizarre to me when a team brings out a zone and they cause a problem. And this is not just against Illinois, against anybody. When you cause a problem with the zone, I don't know why they – sometimes I'm old style. I'm old, and I'm going to say, well, if I've got something that's working, I'm going to make you break it before I change. And so yes. If I slow you down with my zone, I'm going to keep it going for a while until you break it. And then I'll go, okay, now let's go back to man. And I'm the kind of football coach. You know, I'd be a football coach that everybody hates. Cause if I can run the ball up the middle and you're going to give me 5 yards every time, I'm going to make you stop me before I call a different play.
Well, I think they panicked because DeMonte, because I tweeted right away the first two possessions that, you know, they weren't guarding him. Yep. But I think honestly, man, I mean, if it was me, I would have stayed in it. And I think he panicked because DeMonte hit one, then he got out of it. He waited 3 or 4 possessions and then he went back to it. Stay with it because, I mean, it was glaringly obvious. They did not care. DeMonte was going to be the guy. They were like, we're going to lose. We're going to lose with him making shots. Because there was, we all saw the same game. There was probably 7 or 8 possessions, but there was nobody within 10 feet of him.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, it was – I was happy to see DeMonte, you know, shooting 40% from the three tonight, 4 for 10. But obviously, you'd love to see when you're that wide open, you'd love to see a 5 or 6, you know, for 10, just because there was no contesting whatsoever. But it was nice to see him, you know, get one there. And he did have a couple key rebounds. You know, I don't know how DeMonte does that, but he does have this flair for when you really, really need a timeout. Or excuse me, when you really, really need a rebound, somehow DeMonte is the guy who finds a way to get it.
He got the one in Houston. He would have took the one from Kofi, because I don't think at the end of the game, because I don't think Kofi was going to get it. I think if it was me, that kid would get a Kofi will get a lot of rest between now and Sunday, and then the tournament. I know they're going to focus so much on the tournament because the NCAA tournament. I can say to you, for me, this is the first time I can honestly say in the Big Ten tournament, from an Illinois standpoint, whatever happens, happens. I can't say I don't care, but advancing in the NCAA tournament matters to me. And if it means that they get to go back home and they lose early or lose and, you know, and they compete and they get to go back and work on some things, the free throws, you know, shoring up things and, you know, changing a few plays so people are going to have 4 days to scout them if they are 5, depending upon their play on Thursday or Friday. So I just, again, this, you know, you take the win, you know, and it's been a great year. But it's been a very stressful year. It hasn't been easy. A lot of it's because of all the injuries and, you know, RJ sitting out and Benjamin sitting out. And who knows if Jacob Grandison is going to be playing, you know. And when Illinois was good, when Illinois was a team that everybody thought could win a national title, was in early November, December, when they all shot the hell out of it. They all did. Think back to the Arizona-Purdue game when they were scoring 80 and 90 points a game. You know, people can say, well, Penn State slows the ball down. Here's my coaching philosophy. You always ask me what I think as a coach. I don't allow teams to dictate tempo. They run off what I do. If I'm a team that runs, I'm not going to allow them to pound the ball and play their style of basketball. I dictate what I want to do. And to me, Illinois let them dictate the, you know, the way they play. Yeah, they ran a shot clock down, but every time that ball came out of bounds, I would have ran it down their damn throats. Curbelo walked up the court. That's playing in Penn State's hand. If you get a 7 or 8 point lead, then they don't hold the basketball for 25 seconds. That's me. I mean, I'm just telling you, I know people don't know. I am extremely, extremely aggressive. I don't like teams pass the ball around 10 times. If my best shooter, one of my best shooters is Trent Frazier, and he's open on the first pass, and nobody's in 10 feet of him, why should he pass the basketball 10 times? He might not get that look 5, 6 possessions later. I just don't agree with it. A lot of coaches do that. I would not have ran that ball down Penn State's throat tonight because Illinois played to their level competition, I thought.
Well, and this team does tend to play really well against good teams and not as well against poor teams. And a lot of people are frustrated saying, well, Wisconsin played 11 teams at the bottom of the Big Ten and Illinois only played 7. And so Wisconsin had an easier schedule, but maybe for the psychology of this Illinois team, maybe it was better that they didn't play that many bottom feeders.
Mike, there's truth. There's some truth to that. But I'm going to say this. Illinois, whatever happens, they did it to themselves. You don't go to Maryland and lose to Maryland, and you don't lose at home. You don't lose. You lose at home to Purdue. I don't think Purdue's that great. I'm sorry. They beat Illinois twice. I'm not dumb. I was at the game. I saw it. I'm not a big fan of Purdue. The teams that impress me right now in the Big Ten that impress me and that I enjoy watching play is Wisconsin and Rutgers, because you are going to have – they're not going to lose. You're going to have to beat them. You know what I'm saying to you?
Yep.
Wisconsin, Purdue tried all they could. Wisconsin is not talented at all. You know, I mean, at all. And they just have guys that are just tough. They every rebound, every shot they think is, if it's an offensive rebound, they think is theirs. They go to the glass. They work hard on defense to communicate. And you have to work to beat them. And that's a good system to me. I just don't see why other teams haven't figured out that that's what you have to do to play hard and to be competitive and to be very good. Because to me, I want to see Illinois play that way. You talk about rankings, you know, this Chucky Hepburn guy from Wisconsin. Kid's a 3-star recruit, plays like a 5-star recruit. That's why rankings don't matter. If you got a heart, you got a good coach, that stuff doesn't matter. And right now, Illinois just needs to be one of those teams like Rutgers and Wisconsin. If they play like that, I tell you right now, yes, they have a chance to go to Final Four. But the way they're playing, I mean, nobody's going to feel sorry for them. They're not going to roll over because people are saying that they're supposed to go to the Final Four. You got to play like you want to be going to a Final Four. You got to be playing your best basketball down the stretch. And to me, I listened to the pregame show from the Penn State TV broadcast, excuse me, radio broadcaster. They asked him who the most dangerous team in the Big Ten was today. You know who he said it was? It was Iowa. Because they have figured out they're guarding. And so, you know, you got to be able to play defense and you got to be able to put the ball in basket, and you cannot be horrible from the free throw line, Mike. You just can't.
Yeah, well, and I will tell you, you know, again, every game is a win. And in the Big Ten season, again, I tend to quickly, you know, shift to the next game and know that Illinois tends to play better against better teams. You know DeMonte is going to be sky high for Iowa. You know Trent's going to be sky high for Iowa. You know Kofi's going to be. And then hopefully they can drag the rest of the guys with them. Hopefully Jacob will not be hurt too long. And RJ and Benjamin will be better off as, you know, as well, so they can get out there and play.
The way they're supposed to be.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And then what I'm really hoping for, I'll be honest with you, I'd like to see him beat Iowa. And then, because I always like him to beat Iowa, Bruce Pearl will always make me feel that way. And then as long as they win their first game in the Big Ten tournament, beyond that, I don't care. You know, win your one game and then move forward. If you win the whole thing, fine. If you don't, fine. Because I am like you, Illinois needs to make it to that Sweet 16 weekend, not to call it a good year or bad year, but just because that's where you get the eyes of future recruits.
That's where the program is at right now, Mike. The program is there. You have won more Big Ten games than anybody in the last 3 or 4 years. You won a Big Ten tournament championship last year. You're competing. You've been ranked, and you got some of the best players. You're putting guys in the NBA. That's what's missing, is to continue to advance. That's why I said to me right now, yes, it'd be great to hang another banner. Again, it probably would have if you don't lose to Ohio State, but can't change that now. It's in the past. You got to advance. A Sweet 16 banner would be much more proficient for me than to see a Big Ten tournament championship banner this year. I mean, I'm really sorry. That's how I feel, because there's so much talent on this roster. I don't want to see them underachieve. Tonight I heard somebody make the comment that, you know, Trent or Kofi may be the best player on the team, but Trent's the most valuable player. I will say it, and I said it in the last podcast, when Trent goes, Illinois is a different team. I'm telling you, when he is going downhill, he's making shots like he did against Michigan, everybody feeds off him. And that may not be fair to Trent. I don't know. But I know that's what I've seen every game. And when he is struggling and not himself, everybody else kind of is in that same rut. And I know Coach Underwood said he needs to come out and try to get 30 and, you know, look to score. He didn't do that tonight. They need that from him. They need Trent to be that guy. And he's good enough to do it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And it's just one of those things where, you know, Coach Underwood is saying, you know, the team came out flat and they didn't have a lot of energy in the shoot-around. And it's hard because, you know, again, you don't remember what it was like when you were young. You know that we had games when we were younger, and I never played anywhere near the level of University of Illinois, of course, in college, but we all had games that we didn't play as well as other games. And at least the one thing this team does is they'll fight down to the very end and try to get that win. They did a nice job of pulling it out towards the end tonight. but it was a struggle that maybe didn't need to be. When you talk about teams that are dangerous in the Big Ten, the one that scares me when they're clicking, nobody in the Big Ten scares me as much as Ohio State. When EJ Liddell and Branham are both scoring and playing well, they only need one guy on the rest of that roster to show up, and they are darn tough.
They defend well. That's another team.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Mike. I mean, and that's the team that scares the heck out of me. But this Iowa team is changing. Keegan Murray is an athlete, and it's not a immobile guy like Garza has been and some of the scorers of Iowa's past.
Well, he's using the athletes, the way they're playing and the way they're moving and spreading the floor, and their confidence level is at an all-time high. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't think they don't want to come in the Champaign with all the stuff that's happened, coaches arguing with each other to ruin senior night, and that's why I said it to you. Have a bad shooting night Sunday, come out uninspired Sunday, and your senior night is going to be ruined, because I know where I live. I'm living in Illinois, but 50 miles from Iowa City, and I'm going to tell you, I know they're playing Michigan on a Thursday night, but I'm going to tell you, they want this Illinois game. Nothing will mean more to them than to ruin their senior night, given what's happened in the past and the rivalry. So come out to play and don't play, because now Bohannon is shooting the ball better. When they played Illinois the first time, he was non-existent. Sorry, they're not going to be that way this time. And if Illinois is not making shots, hopefully Grandison's going to be there and they're making shots. It's going to be a long day.
Yeah, and Illinois is just going to have to – they're going to have to play defense, you know, and that's the key. I feel like, again, they do tend to play a little bit better when they play better teams. And I was on such a roll that I think it'll be easier for Illinois to get up. Plus, they are kind of like the arch rivals, going back to that last game before the COVID stop, you know, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these guys, neither team likes each other. And it has never gotten really out of hand either. So it's just like a good old-fashioned rivalry.
Well, if you think there's a fluke that that's the last Big Ten game of the year, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, think about it. I remember, they've talked about it because there's some rivalries. You know, you got Indiana and Purdue. I get it. But they're just rivalries. But this one's like, I don't want to say it's a dirty rivalry, but they jaw, there's entertainment with it. You know, at some point in time, DeMonte is going to do something to somebody Sunday. It's just going to be a given. What it's going to be, I don't know.
Will he get caught or not is the bigger question.
Well, there's TV cameras now. It's 2022. So if a kid said he did something, all you do is go to the monitor and look. Because, you know, this is good for Big Ten basketball. I'm really sorry. The people who don't live in this area, you're really missing out, because talk radio is good. Fans, you know, kind of bicker with each other a little bit. Families are that way. It's a really, really good rivalry. People always question, asking if it's Indiana or Michigan. It's Iowa. I tell you what, you ask Deion Thomas, and I tell you, he wouldn't even hold a conversation with you if he said someone else other than Iowa. He knows who it is.
Yep. So any final thoughts, Ked, as we look to seeing if we can get Brad and Matt on live from the State Farm Center?
Well, what happens, they can play with a little bit more enthusiasm come Sunday. You got the win. At the end of the day, all the things that I just said and you and I talked about, they did win, and we can't pretend that it didn't happen, because, you know, the basketball gods were on their side today. I just hopefully Sunday, from this moment on, fans can see the Illinois team and, you know, and enjoy this, because they make it tough sometimes. They really make it tough, because trying to watch a game and, you know, getting 20,000 texts from parents and, you know, tweets about why they're so flat, I don't have an answer for it. I don't know if the kids even have an answer for it. But, again, they won. Move on from it. This is one I usually watch the games and go back and look at them. This one I don't think I'm going to. I have no interest in looking at this one.
Perfect. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate you coming on, and we will move over to Brad and Matt here in just a second. So before we get Brad Sturdy, the Illini guy who is the ultimate Uber insider for Illini Sports, wanted to remind you, home field has a fantastic line of Illinois apparel. You can get it at homefieldapparel.com. When you go there, look for the Illinois stuff. It has some fantastic retro logos, retro images from the past, including the 89 Flying Illini, the 83 Rose Bowl team, and they are some of the most comfortable shirts and sweatshirts that money can buy. Please, if you go there the first time you purchase, type in Illini Guys, that's one word, and you will get 15% off. So thank you so much, Homefield, for sponsoring us. And of course, I want to bring in Brad Sturdy, the man who's been covering the Illini for basically just a little bit less than Lauren Tate has covered the Illini. So Brad, you've seen a lot of games out there. You know, I know that there's a lot of Illini fans who are very frustrated because from a style point standpoint, this game was it was not good. It was the movable object against the resistible force. But what's your answer if you were coaching and, you know, you were Coach Sturdy of the Illini? What would your answer to Illini fans be at the end of a game that you win, but maybe it doesn't look artistically that satisfying?
Same one that Brad Underwood had was, we won, just win. And that's the end of the day. Your goal at this level is to win, especially at this point in the season. And, you know, it was ugly. By the way, I got to mention from Lauren Tate, I got to mention that I was talking to him. I stood up out of the press conference. My knee kind of popped and I went, oh, and he goes, wait till you're 90. So I guess I got a ways to go to feel like Lauren. But I feel like Illinois, this shouldn't have been a shock to people. I don't know. I think Wisconsin beat him 51-49 or something.
Yes.
This is the way Penn State plays. And they try and keep the game close. Now, here's the reality of the situation. There's two things that I take away from this game. One, if Illinois comes out and the ball's moving and they hit a bunch of those early threes, they had some clean looks they missed. And Penn State made some really tough twos. So if that happens early on, that game's a 15-point game early, and Penn State can't play that way anymore. Everything changes. Yep. You don't make comebacks backing down people for 30 seconds and throwing in a fadeaway jump shot. That's not how you come back. But you can hang around if the other team's not making shots, and that's basically what they did. They for Underwood's term, we used to call it dotting. They call it dorking, whatever. Yep. Just don't guard a guy. They basically didn't guard DeMonte, which takes away – you know, then they can, you know, they just played up and over the top of Plummer, made it tough for him to get shots. They went over screens on Trent. And they basically always had a guy in the paint, two guys in the paint. So you got one guy guarding Kofi and one guy guarding DeMonte who's standing in the paint, or Coleman when he went in the game. And, you know, it's an example of, you know, a good game plan to try and keep that there. But at the end of the day, here's the reality. If Illinois makes those shots early or Penn State misses those, it's not a close game. It's not a competitive game. It's a different outcome. But that's what you have to do when you're undermanned. And there's no way they can just go match up with Kofi inside. And then the other thing I thought was I thought that Illinois, the biggest thing on the defensive end, I thought they played pretty good defense. But Penn State runs – that's the way they play. They run ISOs. They run guys, guards posting up. Most teams don't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not part of their game plan. That's what Penn State did. They lifted Hera. They lifted whenever he was out of the game, they lifted the big man. And they basically run an ISO post-up with their guard. And the thing is, and everyone made a good point, you usually don't give up a bunch of runs when you're forcing them into tough twos.
Yes.
And if you give up a bunch of threes, you're going to be in trouble. And so that was what I thought. That Penn State is a team that does that well. And that's why going into this game, I expected them to do that, to grind it slow, late, post up a guy with 10 seconds, he'd back it down if he needs to, and they try and get a mismatch with a bigger wing on a smaller guard and to hang in the game, and that's what they did. And so it didn't shock me that they did that. I just thought it was what you expected when you're playing them. And people are saying, well, it shows how Illinois can be beat. Well, sure, if teams have big guards who post up a lot, then great, Illinois is gonna have a tough matchup. The problem is, if a team goes in there and says, hey, here's what we've never done this before, but now we're going to start doing this because we play Illinois in the next game and we have one day to prep between games. Now we're going to totally change the way we do it. yeah, that's not going to work. I mean, that's not the way things work. And so I think people panic too much that one game flows to the next game. Iowa's going to be totally different. Iowa's going to run up and down, and they're going to try and score, outscore Illinois. And so it's going to be a different mindset. Illinois is going to have flow, and it's going to be a different game. So you can't take one game to the next game and say, well, if they play like this, then this. It doesn't work that way in college basketball.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And certainly those statements on restructuring your offense are what we all hear in the NCAAs or the ACC or the old Big East tournaments when people would watch Syracuse. And then they go, you know what, we should play a 2-3 zone in the NCAAs, as if a man-to-man team is going to turn around and learn how to play 2-3 zone in a weekend and then go ahead and slap that on people.
Yeah, and be really effective, I'm sure.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm just trying to draw an analogy for some sports fans.
You know what? I gotta mention this. You know what this game reminded me of, the way they played? It reminded me of high school girls basketball when you just don't guard certain players.
You
focus all your energy on what I know. But the difference is Penn State does this every game because they know they're undermanned. This is the way they play. I know when my daughter played in high school, a lot of teams they'd run at her. They'd play box and ones. They even had one team put a triangle and put two on her. But it's so weird because they're not used to playing like that. You don't normally play that defense. So if you don't normally do it, it usually doesn't work if that's not your normal way of playing. But for Penn State, that's the way they've done it all year with different things.
Yeah, and I will say that was interesting coaching. Did you think Coach Shrewsberry got a little distracted during the game? Because I kept reading from you and Matt was on Twitter as well that he was having some interactions with the Orange Crush. I don't know that I've heard of that before.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I've heard coaches kind of laugh or joke with the Orange Crush, but he was genuinely a little flustered. And I wonder if it stems back. You know, this is one of those situations where I think they might get a reputation because of Liddell's tweet talking about that. And I think so Shrewsberry is kind of looking for that. And, you know, he told him basically, if you want to say that, come down here and say it. Well, obviously, you know, the college kid isn't going to go down to the college coach and get in his face and or fight him or whatever. And I would think that college coaches right now should be on better behavior than that, because especially after the Juwan Howard incident, I mean, obviously that's not something we want to see happen again. So,
right.
I was a little disappointed because I've met him and you can talk to he was a really good, really good guy. You know, I've seen him and on the circuit. And then also at Purdue, the Purdue guys loved him. So I think that's not really in his character. Maybe he's just frustrated because his guys just, they miss a lot of shots down the stretch. They only scored 3 points in the final 6 minutes. So maybe he's frustrated.
Okay. And then the other question I had for you is Kofi's had a few games where he has, he hasn't had the defensive rebounds that you anticipate from him. He got beat down court one time. Now, granted, it's just one time by Har. And he also hasn't been throwing down quite as often as what we got used to last year. Is he tired now when he reaches? I mean, I know everybody's tired this time of the season. Does he need a little bit of a blow, or is it just the teams are just focusing every effort on him and then people are kind of making up reasons that aren't there for why he's not living up to, a fan's expectation?
Well, I think it's twofold. I think obviously everybody's fatigued, but I think the one play he was mad because he thought he got fouled. And so while he's yelling at the official, Hara takes down and runs to the post. And then as the play develops, ends up getting a layup, That was a situation where that was on Kofi for getting up to the official, because even if it's a foul, you got to get back on defense. So that's one. Otherwise, though, I think the one thing is he is constantly – I mean, he's getting double-teamed, triple-teamed. They're running guys at him. They're trying to prevent post entries. I noticed it was interesting. Penn State didn't play the same way that other teams have. They did not allow him to push them up the lane so that they could get a lob pass to him. So that takes away some of those dunk opportunities. The other thing – so they were content with – because they had that other guy coming in front. It was just more of a half front or quarter front that they're running on him. And if he caught the ball, they had a guy there and they were trying to take the pass away with the help. as opposed to taking it away with the guy who was actually guarding Kofi. So it's a little different dynamic in the way they defended him. But yeah, I think the biggest concern with Kofi right now is he's not rebounding the ball. I mean, he is not rebounding the ball. Balls are going off his hands. He's not ready for them. And I don't think that's fatigue. I think that's focus. I think he's been getting beat up a little bit and he's let it affect him mentally. He's just got to focus. And once he does that, he'll be back to being the same rebounder he was because, you know, he consistently, I think in the last three games, he has 15 rebounds,
yeah,
which is not good for a guy who's 7 foot, 285 pounds, who's played, you know, like almost 100 minutes in those three games. So that you want to see a little more from him on that, on the defensive rebounding.
Yeah, and that was just a question that came up. The other thing, and I was just, you know, half joking, but unfortunately, I had a tweet that went a little crazy on me when I just said, you know, if they're not going to guard somebody out on the wing, let's put in Brandon Podziemski and see how he can do. And of course, it was half real, half tongue in cheek. And a lot of fans jumped on that one as something that should be just a fantastic strategy. What would your thoughts be on that one, Brad?
Well, I mean, I guess if you could put Pods in for DeMonte, you could have done that. But the problem is then you lose it on the defensive end. You lose it from rebounding standpoint and just a veteran strength guy. You having a guy guarding bigger guys and makes it awful tough. You know, even though DeMonte's shorter, he's so physically strong and so long that it makes it, you know, he's obviously much more prepared to guard those guys. And you know, so maybe Pods, but you know, here's the thing. The reality of everybody's talking about DeMonte this, DeMonte that. DeMonte made 40% of his threes. He was 4 out of 10 from 3,
yep.
Made 40%. That's 12 points on 10 shots. That's essentially, that would be like shooting 6 of 10 if they from 2.
Yep.
You know, when Kofi shoots 6 of 10 from 2, do we ridicule him because he was only 6 of 10? Actually, Kofi was 4 of 7, so he's actually worse than DeMonte in effective field goal percentage. So this is where we get too caught up in this, and then people say, well, they were wide open. Everybody would make 40%. Well, Coleman Knox was 0 out of 4.
Yeah.
Which part of the reason why he didn't stay in the game. And I thought Coleman was great at the end. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, it is a difficult thing to not be guarded. Even if you're a really – unless you're – you know, I'm sure Steph Curry doesn't care if they don't guard him, you know, because right. He just makes it. But, you know, guys who are – you know, guys like this, they look at it, nobody's guarding me. I'm so open, I hesitate. And that happened multiple times tonight with those guys. And that's the game plan. That's what they're trying to do. And so – you know, Illinois, the only guy in Illinois who probably never hesitates is Alphonso Plummer if he gets a look.
No, he does not.
He doesn't hesitate. So, but I just think the one thing about it is every coach, and I know guys want this guy to play or that guy to play, or why not make a change? Why not do this? Why not blah, blah, blah? Okay, two things. One, those guys see them every day in practice. They know what they can do. They know exactly what those players can do.
Yep.
Two, there is no coach – zero coaches in the United States who are attempting to not play a guy, even if it makes them lose the game. They want to win. That's the most important thing in the basketball game in college basketball, is to win the game. It's not to make everybody happy. It's not to make the fans happy, although winning should make the fans happy. It's not to, you know, appease someone's AAU coach, high school coach, parent, whatever. You got to play to win the game. And that's what Brad's trying to do. And he shortened the bench a little bit in the second half. You know, Andre Curbelo wasn't happy when he came out of the game, you know, and only played, 6 minutes in the second half.
Yep.
You know, I don't think Coleman was happy when he didn't go in the game until the very end. But at the end of the day, when you get a chance, you got to make your plays and keep playing and competing. And, you know, Podziemski and Goody and, you know, RJ, when he gets healthy, their day is coming. And you just have to bide your time, do what you need to do, and just compete enough to find a way to get on the floor at a later date. I mean, and be ready like Coleman Hawkins. He came in the game and, you know, key plays in those final 2 minutes to help Illinois get the win, the free throws, the offensive rebound, the defense, all of that put together. It was very, very successful for him.
I thought Coleman showed a lot of discipline there because, you know, you're 0-for-4 from the three and you're 1-for-6 overall. There's a lot of excuses on why you're not going to hit your free throws down the stretch. And he even had, you know, that key free throw miss, that one-on-one, that if he would have hit both of them, they would have went up by 9 the end of the first half against Ohio State. So he's got a lot of reason to have the yips from the free throw line. Yet here you go in the last 2 minutes of a game that's close and you go 4-for-4 at the line. that's hard not to give that guy a high five and give him a gold star for doing that, because that's not easy.
Heck yes, totally agree. I mean, those are big time free throws.
Huge free throws.
That's great. Great to see, because, you know, at the end of the day, Andre Curbelo and Coleman Hawkins are going to be needed for Illinois to get where they want to go. By the way, I got a shout out to Omar Payne with like an offensive move. What was
and that? No fouls in 4 minutes.
I mean, that's like a season low in fouls and a season high in actual productive offensive play. Nebraska, I take that back. Nebraska game is pretty good. Wow. But, yeah, I mean, that was great to see. He actually did something, but it wasn't like a lob or anything. He actually made a move.
Yeah.
And I think he shocked the Penn State guy, too.
Well, and the thing is when you sit in films, because it sounds like he does this in practice regularly. And so when he sits in film room, he goes 1 for 1. He has 2 rebounds. He doesn't have any fouls. I know he only played 4 minutes, but there's not a lot to rip on in that performance. And you know, it to build confidence in a kid is a really weird dynamic, and everybody reacts differently. And that may be what he needs. And again, if you could just get 5 minutes a half from him, that takes so much wear and tear off of Kofi.
No question. Totally agree.
5 minutes. And I don't think your average fan understands when you're 7 foot and 290 pounds, even when you're in great shape, that's a lot of body to get up and down the court. And 5 minutes each half of not doing that would give Kofi a world of good. And it's the same reason that I love it when Curbelo's playing well, because when you can have Curbelo out there, Frazier doesn't have to play point guard, and on defense, Curbelo helps a little bit, and it gives Frazier, you know, the offense isn't quite so stressful. And so I really want both Curbelo, you know, Hawkins and in Payne, as all three of those guys playing a little more would be great for the Illini.
Yeah, I agree. I think that getting their quality minutes is huge. Now, I personally think Curbelo and Hawkins are the X factors once they get to that second round of the NCAA tournament. And further, I mean, if those guys are on and playing well, this team has a chance to do something. So
I'll add one more to that list, Brad.
RJ Melendez.
Yes. If he's healthy, and that's asking an awful lot out of a freshman to, you know, have a surgery, then come back and, you know, play great. But if he's on, if he can play well, boy, he would be the other X factor.
Yeah, I agree.
Any other thoughts on this game? I'll leave you one. John Gross used to have this saying that we would all make fun of, energy vampires. But I don't know that there's a better description for the Penn State basketball program than energy vampires, especially when I go back and look at some of their scores this year. You know, when – I mean, they gave – you know, they gave it to Wisconsin down to the very, very end. You know, they've had a lot of those games. You know, they had almost the identical game against Ohio State, only instead of losing it 60-55 like they did against the Illini, they lost it 61-56. You know, they've had several of those close calls, that loss at Michigan at 57. They lost 58-57. This team is just a team that seems to suck the life out of the offense of their opponents.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, they're going to finish either 7-13 or 8-12 in the Big Ten. So, a little, you know, under 500, but just competitive enough to find a way to hang around these games. And I said this early in the game, that's all they wanted to do. They wanted to make this a close game, a possession game, down the stretch, and hope they pulled it out. And, you know, they almost did. And that's what they were trying to do. It didn't work out for them tonight. But, you know, I sometimes Illinois fans, and I think this is all college basketball fans, they just expect their team to be perfect and play up to their best level all the time. Well, it doesn't work that way. And you're going to have days when they suck the life out of you and they play this slow style that doesn't really fit you. And it made Illinois play a little bit lackadaisical. There was definitely a lull, and at the end of the day, that's what happened, and that's how it played out. And Illinois just did enough to win, and that's all you do in these games.
Yep. So, any thoughts going into the Iowa game to leave our fans with?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun, man. There's going to be a lot of recruits there, as I understand it. There's going to be a packed house. It's sold out. It's senior day for, you know, half the team, it seems like. So it's going to be electric. Everybody hates Iowa and Illinois, and Iowa doesn't love Illinois, so that's all good. It's going to be an up-and-down game. Iowa wants to play fast. Iowa is hot right now. They are playing extremely well. And this is – so at the end of the day, this is a great game. I mean, this is the end of the Big Ten season. The only thing that would make it even better is if somehow Nebraska can upset Wisconsin and give Illinois be playing for a Big Ten championship. That would be really cool. But it's also Illinois can wrap up a two seed in the Big Ten tournament. You know, they're going to be a two or three, but they can be the two seed, which is a little bit better than the three seed, I think. They could, you know, it's just, and it means, you know, 15-5 is a really solid record in the Big Ten. Again, that'd be, you know, 16 and 15 wins the last two seasons. I mean, 31-9 over 2 years in the Big Ten. That'd be great. So, you know, it's given a little momentum, three-game win streak heading into the Big Ten tournament would be really nice to see.
Yep. And I'll be honest with you, I'm the total jaded fan. I am now all about them making it to the second weekend in the tournament so that recruits and people can see them play in that Sweet 16 weekend. That's my goal. If anything better is awesome, and I think they're capable of better. But, as long as we win the first game in the Big Ten tournament, I can – if they end up, you know, losing the second game and it's an extra day of rest, I don't even mind. And I know that Coach Underwood would hit me over the head with a chair, but that's kind of how I roll. You know, it's like, let's get into the Big Ten, or let's get into the NCAA tournament and let's win two games, maybe that Friday and Sunday game up in Milwaukee and let's have the Illini go into a Sweet 16. That would be so much fun.
Yeah, it would be. I do think winning the Big Ten tournament would help for seeding and maybe get you a better matchup, though, in the tournament. So
yeah, you're right. You're right there. And if we can win the Big Ten tournament and then, you know, win the national title, I'm not opposed to that. Don't get me wrong. I want to go on the record that I'm yes. for that.
I'm shocked by that, Michael. Yes.
Perfect. Well, Brad, we really appreciate you coming out after the game. I know that you're in transit and of course, using the Illini Guys Iridium satellite phone to talk to us as you're going through the highways and byways of Central Illinois. We appreciate you being here. One thing I would like you maybe to give a little plug to, if you don't mind, for those people who are Illini Guys subscribers, we do a Zoom call every once in a while. We're going to have one Monday night, so we'll talk about what's going to happen in the Big Ten tournament, talk about some bracketology, talk about some recruiting. Brad, what do you think of these Zoom calls? I know that a lot of times you're the guy who is giving all the content to those people who subscribe. Are those exciting things for you to do when we get on the Zoom call and there's hundreds of people on there? And asking you questions and that back and forth between the subscribers and you, how do you like that?
I don't know if exciting is the term, it's cool. It's fun. You know, you get questions from them. You get to answer them. I feel like, you know, sometimes it's entertaining. I mean, you get some good stuff from the subscribers, very knowledgeable group there. And they have a lot of questions and, you know, sometimes you wish you could say more, but I think it's going to be fun. It'll be good. Hopefully we can get a couple hundred people on there and to zoom in and ask some questions and get a little entertainment, hopefully.
Yeah. Each one breaks the record of the previous one. So folks, if you want to subscribe, that'll be at 8 o'clock on Monday. So you need to be subscribed by about 6 p.m. Roughly to get that opportunity. I would not waste any time. You can subscribe to tonight or when you're done listening to this podcast, you can just go to IlliniGuys.com, click on the subscription and you get a 7-day free trial. And I really think once you go back into those forums and read the messages on the message board, and then you look at the content that we have out there in terms of podcasts and radio shows and articles, et cetera. I think you'll be hooked just like so many people are right now. But we would encourage you, this is a great time to get your subscription locked in and be ready to enjoy Big Ten and NCAA tournament. And then as soon as we get past that, it's transfer portal time. That may be even crazier than the tournament. And then, of course, we have recruiting. So it doesn't let up. And when we talk recruiting, we have football and basketball. So it's pretty cool. So we'd ask everybody to do that. And we do appreciate you guys coming on board. Of course, we also have the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. Look at IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, and you can see the 25 stations that we're on and where we're at across the state of Illinois and what day and time, either a Friday or Saturday, that they have on the show. Please listen to it. It's a two-hour extravaganza each and every week. We talk Illinois sports, and we have a lot of fun. And it is Larry, myself, and Brad on there. And like I said, we'd love to have you on. We had some fantastic guests just last week. We had Big Ten Network's Mike DeCourcy and FS1 color commentator Lynn Elmore. These are type of guests you can't get anywhere else. Plus, you have Brad and I and Larry all the time. So that's fantastic stuff. And we also have our other podcast, Sturdy for 30. We also have Eye on the Illini. You're listening to that right now. And Ked's Recruiting Roundup. Please listen to those. And we would certainly love to have you go to home field and go to there and see if you can get some Illini gear that is so cool. With that, this is Mike Kegley talking for Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince. Thank you and have a fantastic day.